Living with a chronic respiratory condition doesn't mean giving up the things you love to do. At Blue Zone Health, we're here to help you breathe easier and rebuild your strength. Our online cardiopulmonary rehab program offers tailored exercises, self-management training, and expert support from certified respiratory therapists. Accessible anytime, it's designed to reduce breathlessness, improve lung function, and empower you, all while connecting you with a supportive community. Visit bluezone.health and take the first step towards stronger lungs and a healthier future. Blue Zone Health. Breathe better, live better.
Hey, everybody. I'm so excited to be back again today. We're going to be talking a little bit about caregivers today. So I'm excited to have this conversation. I think this is something that people don't normally think about. But before we jump into that, do we have any current events or anything going on?
I will say yes. It's Kelly here. Hey, everybody. Over here in my neck of the woods in California, we've got fires everywhere and we've got evacuation orders and we have all kinds of crazy things happening. We have Santa Ana winds that are going to kick up again tonight as we do this podcast. And I just want to say, I watch the news and I see reporters interviewing people. There's smoke blowing everywhere and no one has a mask on. So if you have anything going on, asthma, COPD, bronchitis, a cold, a flu, anything, and you're in a smoky area, please go find some N95s. If you can't find any N95s at the drugstore or Amazon won't bring them to you, you can find them usually in Home Depot or Lowe's. Sometimes Tractor Supply has them. Any kind of those building supply stores should have N95s, but it's really important. Those little paper tissue masks aren't going to help you when the smoke is really, really heavy. So protect your lungs, please, and grab an N95 if you're anywhere near any smoke.
Hey there, this is Gina. I'm over here in cold, snowy central Illinois. So in my neck of the woods, we have a lot of respiratory viruses right now. Same advice, though, as for wildfires. Put a mask on. And keep yourself protected from any kind of toxins that you might be breathing in, whether it's wildfire smoke or respiratory viruses.
Well, down here in North Carolina, we have had all of the freezing temperatures, which, as we know, cold temperatures like this, especially when the air is so dry, can be really irritating to our respiratory system. So just be really careful. You know, if you've got some sort of scarf or something you can put around your neck, if that really cold air tends to bother your breathing, you can put that scarf just over your mouth if you go outside, and that may help you just stay a little bit warmer and a little bit more comfortable in our cold temperatures.
Great advice. So today we're talking about caregivers. So what is the definition of a caregiver? When I think of a caregiver, I think sometimes of somebody who from an outside agency maybe comes to the house for a few hours, or maybe they, you know, help out with this and that. But I'm sure there's a broader definition of caregivers.
Yes. So with caregivers, especially for our pulmonary patients, the first thing to do is help with daily tasks. Because people who have different pulmonary diseases get so short of breath, a lot of times they're not able to do the household chores and everything that they would like to do throughout the day. So caregivers should be helping with that. They're also really helpful with medication management and also with making medical decisions, going to the doctor with you and helping you talk through different things so that you can make the best decision possible. And they're also really great for providing emotional support and helping patients adhere to their treatment plans.
There are so many activities of daily living that need help, especially when you're short of breath. One thing that comes to mind is a shower. It's a very exercise-heavy thing to do when you need a shower. A caregiver can help you if you're extra short of breath. Not giving you the shower, perhaps, but maybe helping you with your clothes, helping you in and out of the tub, particularly if it's a trip-prone place. But think even bigger, caregivers can help with some meal planning, shopping for groceries. They don't need to be taking care of you 100% of the time.
Just to throw this in, if you are on oxygen, please wear it when you shower. I saw kind of an ingenious thing the other day. A lady was tired of her extra long oxygen tubing going through. So she, I don't know how she did it, but she poked a hole in her shower curtain and put her cannula through there. So the cannula came through right at her level. So she wasn't tripping over it and it wasn't moving the curtain and getting water everywhere. I thought that's a genius idea.
Excellent idea. I get that question a lot when I'm coaching. You know, I get so breathless in the shower, you know, how can I do it? Love that, ingenuity. Something else you can do is do a half of a shower. Do your hair one day, you know, and maybe do the rest of your body another day. Or take a breather. It's okay to sit there for 10 minutes and take your breaths while you're in the middle of things. There are very little things that are more taxing for a patient to do than try to bathe themselves at home.
Especially shampooing. And this is why it's so important to keep up your exercise, especially your upper body exercise, not just for shampooing, but all the things that require you to lift your arms up over your head, like getting things down off of a shelf or putting things away on a shelf that's taller than you are. So keeping up your upper body exercise is important. But taking a shower or taking a bath, definitely take your time. If you need a shower chair, use it. And don't be afraid to use your oxygen. Nothing will happen to your cannula if it gets wet. Flow is going out, not going to suck water in.
Another important activity for caregivers to do is help you with nutrition. Now, I know that it's easy to open a can of soup or open something that's somewhat ready to eat and just heat it up. That's great in a pinch, but it doesn't need to be the backbone of your nutrition 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Use those caregivers to make some extra things for you. Maybe you haven't had any fresh vegetable soup for a while. I'm sure there's somebody in your life that would be happy to make some things like that, or even make a couple of extra servings while they're cooking for their own family. But getting some extra nutrition is really a great way to use caregivers.
Even if the caregiver helps you shopping, those bagged salads, I know some people say, well, yes, you know, that's opening a can of soup is about all I feel like doing, or pulling a frozen meal out of the freezer. They're very high in sodium for one thing, but if you can kind of round it out, and if you buy those pre-made salad mixes that have a little packet of dressing in there, it's not the best, it's not organic, but it's green. And I would use it at least to round out something quick and frozen or quick and canned if you're doing that.
Caregivers are also kind of there to be a little bit of emotional support for you. And so if you're somebody who really loves to cook, but you just don't have the energy, you get really short of breath when you're up moving around the whole kitchen, you know, they can do it with you. You can sit in a chair and you can do, you know, some vegetable chopping or do something from your chair while they do the running around the kitchen. And so you're able to cook meals and have a good time, but have that extra assistance you need so that you can do the things that you love a little bit more comfortably.
I had a couple of ladies yesterday in my office, and they were each other's emotional support friends. They didn't have anything planned. They weren't going out to lunch or anything. They just accompany each other on doctor visits. They didn't even go in the room. Now, many times caregivers are in the room with you at a doctor's appointment so that you can help with the language and understanding the instructions. But this lady, they're just coming to make sure that each other gets their appointments on time and have somebody to talk to in the car. I thought that was really an innovative way to use your friends.
That's a great way. I have a question. If somebody is going to hire a company to send a caregiver over, how do they match up a caregiver with a patient? In other words, is there a kind of a questionnaire, an intake visit? I know that I had a family member who was not very strong and kind of a little bit on the heavy side. And the first caregiver that the company sent was this teeny tiny little girl who couldn't have weighed more than 50 pounds. And I thought, how is she going to help my family member get up out of a chair or get into bed or get in and out of the shower? And it turned out they needed to change caregivers. So what's the matchup process? Does anybody know?
In my experience, my parents are starting to need some caregivers. I have not had experience with an agency, so I'll let Amy weigh in on that. But we used just the care.com kind of model, and we put an ad out and we interviewed three caregivers. And we just did our best to match them. And then we did really an initial 30-day contract to see if it was a good fit. After the 30 days it was, we were very lucky with our experience that first with that first caregiver, and we still have her. But there's many people out there that do would like to have a part-time job or a full-time job that can provide the needs that you have. What do you think, Amy?
Absolutely. All these different agencies and all of these different websites, you know, there's care.com, there's Aging Care, I know there's Home Instead, and there's plenty of other home care and caregiver websites out there who can be really helpful. And I would say definitely make sure that you look at something where they're asking you questions and they're getting a good idea about exactly what is needed. If they're just kind of sending somebody out random, or they don't really ask you a whole lot of questions, it may not be the best website or program to use. And if you ever end up in a situation where your caregiver, maybe they just can't supply you with everything you need, never be afraid to ask for somebody new. You know, it doesn't mean that that person's bad. It just means, you know, this person is supposed to be taking care of you. And if they're not able to do all the things that you need, you may need to find somebody else who's a better fit.
How does somebody go about paying for a caregiver? There's all these great sites and companies out there, but what if somebody says, oh, we can't afford that? What could we tell them?
Well, this is really timely for my family. We have not found the answer to that yet. Right now, we're working with our physician, and the physician said if there's an immediate need, then the reach out to the agency of the care you need, and the agency will work on getting those things covered. If it's medical equipment like a wheelchair, go to the wheelchair company, tell them what you need, and they will work on getting the payment qualification for those things. But I'm finding that just some household caregiving may be an out-of-pocket expense. And there are many different price points depending on what neighborhood you're in. If you're in a rural area, it might be a little less expensive. If you're in an urban area, it's going to be a little higher. In our area, I've seen several of these caregiver flyers, and it's anywhere from $25 to $40 an hour. So that's a significant expense for many people.
Funny enough, I actually did some short-term caregiving for a family when I lived in my college town. And what actually ended up happening, it was a family friend of one of my friends who was looking for someone. And so sometimes word of mouth, you know, if you go to a church or if you've got family friends, sometimes that's not always the most comfortable conversation to have. And I absolutely understand that's not for everybody, but sometimes asking around to different communities that you're a part of, different friends, or, you know, your church or whatever that may be, you may find somebody who's willing to come in and do some work for more of a negotiable price. I did that and I really enjoyed it. The person that I worked with was a retired chef. And so we loved to go to the grocery store and go and cook all the time. That was our favorite thing to do. And I didn't charge $40 an hour because it was a friend. And so it was just a little bit different. And so there's always that option available, but you still, again, just want to make sure that it's somebody who will be a really good caregiver, even if they're, you know, not from an agency and maybe charging a little bit less. You just want to make sure you still find somebody who's going to do all of the things that need to get done.
Hi, I'm Kelly, a registered respiratory therapist with Blue Zone Health. Do you feel breathless much of the time? Are you unsure of how to manage your breathlessness? Is it keeping you from doing all the things that you would like to do? I'm here to help you learn to work with your healthcare team to come up with a plan that will work for you. There are lots of tools, tips, and tricks, and breathing exercises that you can do now that will help you breathe easier and more effectively. I look forward to joining you on this journey and empowering you to breathe better.
You do need to be wary of how hard you are on the caregiver. So as a patient, you expect things to be done a certain way. However, this is hired help most time, and you need to be a little bit cognizant of how they may want to do things as well. So you just can't be very overly critical of some of the things they're doing, particularly as they're learning how to take care of you. They may not be able to do everything in the exact same time frame or cook meals exactly the way that you do. It may take a little bit of instruction and a whole lot of grace to implement something like this when you're not used to having a caregiver in your home.
Patience is definitely key. And just going back, Gina, I liked what you said. Rather than trying to figure out what your insurance will cover, figure out what you need first, then go to a company and say, can you help me get this paid for? Can you help me get this taken care of? There's also, I believe in some states, some form of a respite care. For example, if the family members are the caregivers. So what happens if they decide not to use an agency and not to hire outside help, but all the family members are going to take care of one person? What's the good, right, and fair way to divvy that up? How does that work?
The biggest thing is that it's going to be a really important conversation when you have a big family and one person who needs some help with their care. You have to figure out who's going to help with that. You know, if you've got 40 different people in your family with kids and grandkids and uncles and, you know, whoever, the problem is all 40 people probably shouldn't take care of the one person. You know, you'll get mixed up with what they need with their medication, what they need with their nutrition, and all of those different important factors. So it's important to have a conversation with whoever needs the caregiving and basically figure out who they're comfortable with helping them and what that will look like. So making designations with the people who will take care of certain things is really important, instead of having a big family all trying to take care of one person and having their voice and opinion, which is helpful sometimes, but not always, because sometimes it can just be too much.
This has been a really good exercise in my family for clear roles and responsibilities. It's kind of fallen naturally. We've been doing this now about 6 months in my family. There's three siblings. And so we've kind of fallen into it. I'm the medical person. So I do a lot of the medical things and the appointments, but I can't do everything. I also have my own family and my own work. So my sister and my brother, they're also helping out. My brother, who's the youngest, the baby of the family and the only boy, they've decided dad's comfortable with him doing the financial stuff of the family. So we've moved most of those financial kind of decisions and all of those paperwork forms that you need to do to the brother. My sister's been doing a lot of, going to a lot of appointments because she's a flexible job, but she also is the liaison between the caregiver and the rest of us. So we really try to have those clear roles and responsibilities. The other thing that's very helpful in a situation like that is, number one, we get together weekly or every other week on a Google Meet, much like this kind of podcast, and we talk about issues of the week. And we also use a shared calendar so that not only the patient, but also the caregivers are all on the same page. And we clearly put there, dad has an appointment Monday at 8:00. In parentheses, can he drive himself or does he need one of us there with him? And so we try to really make the clear roles and responsibilities as we get through and navigate these sorts of things.
One thing that has always kind of been said, and I don't know if this is just an old saying or a joke, is that you never work with family. And being a caregiver, that's work. And it can be a really hard dynamic to get used to, especially when it's talking about like your parent. Your parent is so used to taking care of you and being the person in charge and the head of the family. It can be really hard to make that transition into you being a caregiver for your parent or your grandparent. So there's a lot of hard conversations that have to be had. And you really have to make sure that if you're caregiving for a family member, that everyone's considering everybody else's feelings and going very gently into this, that nobody's kind of trying to strong arm anybody or make decisions without addressing the person who needs the caregiving. That can be a really hard dynamic to figure out. But I think just with patience and with plenty of communication and having those harder conversations while also being respectful of your parent or grandparent, as you know, they used to be the person who was the head of the family and they still are. But it's just a really hard dynamic. So that's definitely something that has to be considered when a family member is a caregiver.
That really brings up a couple of points. Number one, I can get very resentful that I'm doing all of the work. And I am grateful that I have a family that has a nice, even approach to that. You may have only one child or no child. and you feel really resentful about that. Do the best you can with the people around you. Use them as best you can. Ultimately, as people, though, we all kind of have to take responsibility for our own health. And so make sure that the person that needs the caregiving is doing as much as they can for themselves. That's number one important. The other thing, when you have a caregiver in your home, you're going to have things that are put away in the wrong spots. So having a place for everything is really important. Like, where does the mail go? Put a note on there. Mail goes here. We put these things away here. But having new people in your home is going to be a little bit of disruption that can cause some resentment. But just remember, everybody's there to be take care of each other.
I think one more thing, too, for caregivers, it's important for the caregivers and the patients to understand, the family members, that caregivers need breaks, too. Caregivers need vacations, too. And so many times, you know, I hear the story of a friend of mine who's taking care of his aging parents, and his brother and his sister live across the country, and they don't even think about it. You know, they'll send some money, and the person finally 18 months later is saying, you know, I could use a break. Can you guys take a couple weeks vacation, come out and look after mom and dad, just so I can, you know, go sit and stare at a TV screen for days on end or something and take a break? And people think, oh, you know, well, it's not a real job, but it is a real job. And it's sometimes 24 hours a day job. And usually the person that gets stuck with it is the person who's not got this all high powered, important job, but it's probably one of the most important jobs you'll ever do, is to take care of somebody else who's mostly dependent on you. Just don't forget to give them some downtime once in a while.
And I think whether it's a family member who's a caregiver or somebody from an agency, it's really important for them to have boundaries, because while they're taking care of this person and they're giving them all of the help that they need, sometimes you have to make boundaries with, you know, having to leave at the end of your shift if you are a caregiver who's not a part of the family, and making those boundaries of, no, I can't stay all night, or no, I can't stay to watch a movie with you. Yes, you know, you want to, but then sometimes you have to understand the boundaries of that somebody's job, and they may have family to go home to or different responsibilities outside of that.
I have found that with our caregiver, our paid caregiver, I try not to text her after hours, even to ask a routine question. That's her off time. And as an employee, I don't want my boss texting me after hours for frivolous things. So I try to watch that for the caregiver as well.
Are there any support groups that caregivers can attend?
Our health department had a really nice class for caregivers of dementia patients. So I enrolled my family member into that, and they got a lot of really good tips on how to take care of themselves while also taking care of very significant health problems. So yeah, there's definitely agencies and services in every local area for that.
I also think that the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation also has a caregiver community. So that would be something to look into specifically if you are a caregiver for a pulmonary patient.
And I think if you're a caregiver for a pulmonary patient, you can go with your patient to their groups, and you'll get a better understanding of what's going on with them. I used to lead a Better Breathers Club, and the patients would come and they would all bring their caregivers, because their caregivers would say, oh, now I know what's going on. Now I get it. Okay, now I didn't know what you need. All right, all right. And that it's that group is there to support everyone, the patients and the caregivers together, to make sure everybody's getting what they need, and, you know, pass advice around as far as whatever else that the family might need. One of the things that used to come up was, what if I get a caregiver from an agency that I don't like, we don't get along, then what do you do?
Call the agency.
Yeah, it's hard to do. It's really hard to do, but you could just say something simple like, it's just not a good fit. And just leave it at that. You don't have to outline all the reasons, what you think or don't think. Just, this is not a good fit. Send someone else. My mother went through, I think, 8 or 9 caregivers before she finally found the one that she could tolerate and could tolerate her. So sometimes it takes a minute to find the right person, but they're there. They're out there.
One of the things I like about the Blue Zone pulmonary rehab video-based program is that I can put it on the TV in the living room in front of my mom and her caregiver, and they can do that together. And it doesn't have to be at 9 o'clock every day. Maybe, you know, they want to do it in the afternoon or the morning. Maybe she doesn't want to do it at all that day. But there's a structured approach that's very accessible for both the caregiver and the patient to do.
You know, and physical activity is something that caregivers should be helping with as much as they can, especially, again, with our pulmonary patients. That's so important. Taking a walk, even just around, you know, the first floor of the house, or maybe a walk to go get the mail and back. Following along with Blue Zone's program, you know, the caregiver gets it set up for their patient. That's a good way to provide physical activity. That's not, it doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to go all the way to the gym. Just walking around the house, following along with an exercise program from home are great ways to stay active.
You'll notice that all the Christmas trees are down in our cozy lung lounge environments. That was one of the exercise opportunities that the caregiver did with my mom the other day. Let's take the ornaments off the tree. I'll have to give a shout out to my sister because she was the one that invented that one. But she stretched, and she had to stretch to get the ornaments off the tree and put them down in the box. And so that was really a fun way to exercise and stretch that we wouldn't really have thought about otherwise.
Excellent.
Absolutely. And kind of talking a little bit about caregivers, it's really important to have a good relationship between the caregiver and the family if the family also helps take care of whoever it is, because that relationship, especially if it's a hired caregiver, is really helpful. Gina, you said you don't like to text your caregiver after hours, and that's so respectful. And I think some people don't necessarily always think about that. So if you are a caregiver, it could be really helpful to host a family meeting with yourself, the patient, and the family members to basically all understand the responsibilities, understand those boundaries, and have a really healthy, good relationship so that it can benefit everyone.
That's an excellent idea. I think I'm going to invite our caregiver to some of our sibling meetings from time to time. I think that's an excellent idea.
I think that wraps us up for our discussion of caregivers.
I got a lot of great ideas. Thank you, guys.
I hope this is helpful for pulmonary patients. This will be helpful for family members as well as caregivers of pulmonary patients. Just coming up with some ideas to create really good environments that will help everyone and make the best situation possible.
Signing off.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, friends. This episode of the Cozy Lung Lounge is brought to you by Hootenanny Joy, where your health and wellness take center stage. At Hootenanny Joy, we know how overwhelming it can be to stay on top of your health, especially when life gets busy or chronic illness adds challenges. That's why we've created self-study programs designed to meet you right where you are. These programs are simple, flexible, and packed with tools to help you thrive. And they come with something extra, access to a live health coach, that's me, to guide you every step of the way. Whether it's improving your sleep, learning to nourish your body, or managing stress, our programs combine proven science with practical real-life strategies. You can work at your own pace, get the answers you need during coaching sessions, and feel confident you're making progress. Ready to take that first step? Visit HootenannyJoy.com to explore the programs and choose the one that fits your journey best. Hootenanny Joy, because your health deserves a little joy.